Welcome to the Simply Authentic podcast, where we hope to inspire you to dream bigger, empower you to take charge of your own life, and challenge you to be your most authentic self. To the Simply Authentic podcast. I'm Angie Mullings.
And I'm Tanya Murfin. And we have some exciting news today. We are celebrating our 50th episode.
Woo! Woo! And can we have a toast to that?
Toast. Yes.
Cheers. Toast to 50.
Cheers. Cheers. Cheers.
Woohoo! We also have guests in the studio and our highly popular Back Porch Hens broadcast. The hens are back today.
The hens are back in town.
Yeah.
You know, there's a song about the boys are back in town.
Yes,
I think maybe they need their own jingle.
Yeah.
What if we created their own jingle? We'll work on that.
We will. So we have Callie Linville.
Hello.
And Sandy Zwingle with us. So we're going to talk about a few things women related, a few things friendship related, and we're going to see where that goes. You never know.
Yeah. You don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So to get us started, ladies, we're all women, and
state the obvious,
and we tend to get closer to the menopause stage of our lives. I'm kind of doing this on this edge of the table because we are all of a similar age bracket. Callie is the young one.
Mm.
However, I believe she has her own story about the perimenopause.
I probably do.
So, men, you may want to listen up because you probably have wives that really need you to understand this stuff.
Yes, right? It may help. Sure. It may help your relationship. We may open some doors and things for you.
Yes.
Make things more clear.
Yes, exactly. Yes. So, to get us started, what if we all just give our state of being of what we've learned from the stage in our life that we're at right now and how that has evolved? Menopause, perimenopause, and the ways us women are having to look out for our own health these days.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Callie, you want to start?
Sure. Well, first off, I heard one time someone call it the afternoon of your life, and that felt so much better than menopause or aging woman. So I'm going to call this, we've had the morning of our life where you're
right.
Growing up and you're getting married and you're starting your family and all those things, we have now clicked to the empty nest and afternoon of our lives. Yeah. So I am square in the middle of perimenopause, which is means around. It's the around the time that you're heading into menopause.
Okay.
And I work with a functional medicine doctor here locally in Springfield. Mm-hmm. We test my hormones and we could see them tanking like the Titanic.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started addressing some of different therapies and medications and even herbs and just stress management. We can go into much more detail. It's very boring, but I definitely am heading in that direction. And it's young for me. I am 44, almost 45.
Mm-hmm.
So started having the hot flashes and those kind of things. The biggest thing for me was sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I just wasn't sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot function if I don't have any sleep.
Sure.
And so I finally was like, we're going to have to do something about this. And so that's kind of my station right now.
Yeah.
It's odd to get on a podcast and talk about your
hormones. It is.
It's a very vulnerable moment we're all having here.
Yes, we are.
I have a question, though, because I'm hearing more and more people talk about functional medicine. Mm-hmm. And Tanya alluded to what we're having to do to kind of be an advocate for our own health. And mm-hmm. I didn't do any of that when I was going through perimenopause. I probably didn't realize. I mean, I'm just kind of this person who just rolls with it, mm-hmm. and whatever's mm-hmm. happening is happening.
Mm-hmm.
But so can we talk just a minute about functional medicine and,
sure.
and why you investigated that and maybe why that is important to you versus your traditional
right
medicine?
Yeah. So this is really timely. Actually, 2 days ago, I quote, fired my PCP, my primary care physician. physician, my medical doctor, and I made appointments with a new one because we just weren't seeing eye to eye on things.
Yeah.
So I use kind of a blended approach. I started with a functional medicine doctor. She's actually an NP, a nurse practitioner, in 2018, because I just kept going back to my PCP that I had at that time, and they were really just kind of the standard of care was to push a medication that I felt like I wasn't addressing everything else in my life. I was leaving a pretty stressful position at that time. Mm-hmm. So I needed to get back to basics. What about my nutrition? What about my sleep? What about my stress management? Mm-hmm. So the functional medicine doctor works with me and my regular medical doctor, my gynecologist, like we all are on the same page. So I went there and had a full panel of blood work done. A lot of people think they're getting a full panel of blood work and they're really not. So my functional medicine doctor orders hormones and a lot more in-depth blood work. And it was like 8 vials. I was like, wow, this is intense. A lot of information. And it took me about an hour to go through everything with her when we went back for our sit down afterwards. So I look at it as a partner. Some people, that is their doctor. They don't have a primary care physician. So I take a more blended approach.
Gotcha. Okay.
I love that.
Yeah, I do too.
So I had an experience with a gynecologist, and it was regarding birth control. And without going into this big, long tale that I have to tell that Angie has heard and Kelly has heard, spare you listeners the details of me going to the gynecologist. I went in to address the birth control, and I actually had already been through menopause. So I was there for a reason, and they did whatever task they had to do with me. And I asked the MD, now what is your recommendation for me? And she looked me in the face and said, well, I can't tell you what to do. And I mean, my jaw dropped.
Wow.
And I have the utmost respect for our medical doctors, for all of our healthcare providers, because it takes a tribe to do all the things that are involved in one person's care, much less the whole world. But and I said, well, what do you mean you can't tell me what to do? And she said, you'll just have to do your own research. I can't recommend that you go on hormones. And I said, well, my brother, who is an MD, had told me, you have to go on hormones. Once you go through menopause and you have lost all your hormones, and my hormones were at zero. I had zero hormones in my body. He said, you have to take supplements, hormones, in some fashion to protect your heart and all of your major organs. Otherwise, you're not protecting them any longer. Your hormones is what protects the organs. So she still would not give a recommendation, even though I asked that. And she said, I'll write you a prescription for Permarin or whatever the, you know, whatever the over-the-counter or whatever the prescribed medicine is. And I said, okay, why don't you do that? Well, I then, I left furious. I was so upset that this is her specialty and she can't even say, you know, here are some options. She couldn't. So I ended up going back to my medical doctor and told her the story. And she said, well, here's what I did. I went to a nurse practitioner and got bioidentical compounded hormones prescribed for me. They are set for my body, not yours and not yours. They're set for my body based on 8 or 10 vials of blood. And that's what I did. And then I ended up seeing another female medical doctor for some other reason, and she told me the exact same thing. So then I was on a path to figure out what is functional medicine. And I went to a nurse practitioner that was recommended, and I sat down, same thing. She took an hour and a half with me and went through every feeling, symptom, anything that had ever happened with me, had my blood results in front of her, and I was low on D and B12, which can make you feel poor. I wasn't sleeping. That was one of my first indicators. And then I started to have hot flashes. So when we talk about seeking medical help to best serve your body and yourself, I think standard medicine is not in all practical ways, going to be your answer these days, especially if you get the response I got, which is she did not want to help me figure it out.
I don't think they know.
That's a good point. And maybe it's not their fault. I mean, it's not their training and...
Agree.
Right.
And I guess this is a good time to say, we are not medical professionals.
We are not.
Yeah. Good disclaimer.
Yes. You're welcome. Yes.
And it's test, don't guess. You know, there's a lot of misinformation out there. What worked for me may not work for Tanya. That's and right. vice so versa. True. When Tanya was going through this, we were kind of on the same trail back in those years. And she was like, who are you seeing? What are you taking? What are you, you know? And I still to this day, when I see friends, I'm like, what are you doing? Yeah. What's your HRT, hormone replacement therapy? Are you on HRT? Mm-hmm. And I tried something in January that didn't work for me. And we gave it 6 weeks. And I was like, that does not work for me. Mm-hmm. And did my number come up? Yes. But how did I feel? Terrible. Mm-hmm. So you've got to know yourself. And you've got to know, just because the data says this is the range that you should be in.
Right.
Okay, I got to that range and I felt terrible. I was like, this doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
So how do you really feel? And I feel like a functional medicine doctor is asking those questions.
Yes.
How do you feel? They're involving you in it instead of just going, okay, here's the baseline. Take the 200 milligrams or whatever by. Mm-hmm. So I think it's involving. They want to hear from you and get your feedback on it. But you're so right, Sandy. It's if they don't know, it's not their fault. I want to see my gynecologist for certain. I don't want to gamble on health screenings and cancer screenings. There's not an essential oil going to fix that. Okay, right. No. You know
exactly.
Yeah.
So what have you two experienced?
So I thought it was interesting. You said the afternoon. Is that what you said?
Afternoon of your life,
Growing up, generationally, you always would hear your mother, grandmother talk about going through the change. And I, you know, younger, you'd be like, okay, whatever, that's weird. Well, definitely there is a change. Mm-hmm. And it smacks you kind of in the face. I've gone through the change. And I experienced a lot of those things. Just the sleep was big for me because, you know, we have high demand jobs, high stress jobs. Sleep was important. You're waking up at 1 a.m., 3 a.m., 5 a.m., and then you're like, okay, I've got to get up. So sleep was rough. The hot flashes were obviously a thing. Mm-hmm. I struggled with those mainly at night, not necessarily like we're sitting here now and I'm dying. That wasn't for me. The biggest thing for me, and I'd be interested to know with you guys, anxiety almost was.
Oh, yeah. It came out of nowhere.
Like a weird, like I was like, I'm not an anxious person. I wouldn't consider myself, but I was having this. And that's what really, when I went to my doctor for the first time, it was a yearly checkup. And I said, I can't describe this, but I feel anxious. Like I'm not an anxious person.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing for me to be. And she's like, yeah, that's kind of part of it. And I said, okay, is there anything that we can do? I'm, you know, waking up at night, not sleeping, having these hot flashes. And she goes, there's really not a lot for women's health. It kind of stinks. So much like what you said. Mm-hmm. And I was in the back of my mind going, wait, what? Mm-hmm. And see, I've had breast cancer, and so the hormones a little bit are scary. Right, yeah. So I'm like, well, I was like you, looking for, here's a recommendation. We could do this, this, or this. But it was like, she's like, well, what would you like to do? Would you? And I was like, oh, I'm not, you're looking for that person to have at least the answers. I think functional medicine, there's more to that. My sister-in-law was a nurse practitioner. I think they just spend an inordinate amount of time. A doctor's, you know, you're in and out. They're just checking boxes. It's it's a level 3 visit. They're looking at everything, giving you the high level. And so I feel like, I mean, I take some supplements. Mm-hmm. I think magnesium, I've taken that forever. Mm-hmm. If you're not taking magnesium, I mean, that's something you probably should look
everyone
at.
Everyone should have
magnesium. There's 7 different kinds, but I just think magnesium for your brain health and for a lot of different things, sleep. So it was rough, though. And it was really, you felt a little bit stranded.
Yeah. You feel isolated,
isolated.
But you're not.
Right.
No. Or you shouldn't be,
and
you know.
It wasn't dismissive, but I just was like, you're the physician. If you can't answer my questions, then
who's going to?
Now where do I go?
Yeah.
Because Dr. Google is not the best source.
Exactly.
And so if you pull up TikTok at any given time, and Tony, you mentioned somebody right before we started. I mean, there's 75,000 different, either functional medicine, holistic, all of these different. And you're like, how do you know who to?
They're not created equal.
And to your point, everybody's going to be different.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But to quote the him, your grandmother, the change, it's definitely a change. Yeah. And I think it's important, you know, you talk about saving marriages. Yeah. I mean, I kept telling my husband, I'm like, okay, I don't know what's going on here. But, you know, like...
I've said I'm not myself.
This, you know...
Yeah. I'm just not myself. This is not my best self.
Right. Yeah.
She's here. Yeah. So let her go through this season.
Right.
But I'm at least self-aware enough to know that mm-hmm. this is not my best yes. self.
Right. And I did ask my doctor... You know, like, how long does this last? And she's like, could last a year, could last 10 years. And I was like, oh, dear. You know, and that's what Kevin asked me. He goes, yeah. How long does this last? And I'm like, I don't know. So, I mean, just buckle up. We may be. So, I mean, I think you have to be transparent with your husband, your partner.
Absolutely.
Just yes. so they know sure. you're not being, you know.
Well, this is, and that, I guess my other point was that I wanted to make, that I wanted to make sure. I wrote down two things. I want to make sure I said, this is normal. We are not trying right. to exactly. stop menopause or stop aging. This is the most normal, natural process. We're mm-hmm. trying to smooth the transition.
Best navigate
right.
it.
Exactly.
How can we best navigate
yeah.
through?
I mean, when we were going through puberty, or your children were, or the people around you, everyone knows, like, they get in 6th, 7th, 8th grade. We give them a lot of grace because yes. their hormones are all over the place.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's in a professional setting, you can't be like, oh, well, we're going to give Callie grace because her hormones are all over the place. You know, it's sometimes at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm like, I can't even type one more sentence right now. My brain is mm-hmm. done. Like mm-hmm. either I didn't sleep the night before, which I'm not having this now. We're managing it now. But I can remember looking at it and reading the same sentences in an email over and over. And I was like, I have no idea what this is right. saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I need about a 30 minute break. It's the brain fog.
Yes. Not processing.
Yeah. I couldn't yes. come up with words. I've always been like super sharp. So
yeah.
the sharpness.
Yeah.
Mental clarity, brain fog, like when those things start happening, I was like, we need to talk.
Yeah.
So
it's
but,
a thing.
Yeah. It but is this a is a very yeah. normal process. And I'm so glad you guys are doing a podcast on it to just elevate the conversation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Normalize
yeah.
it.
Two great points there is that we should not be ashamed or hesitant to have a conversation. And to your point about knowing who to go to, having those that tribe around you and being able to have that relationship with someone to say, who do you use and why, you know, why do you use them? And mm-hmm. I went through this whole situation with doctor after doctor because mine retired. Mm-hmm. And about the time I was going, and I went through it young, so did my mom. I mean, you know, I have those kind of relations that I can go back and say, you know, what should I expect?
Mm-hmm.
But my doctor retired and then I got a new one and all they wanted to do was prescribe medication. And I'm really fortunate. I didn't have a ton of the brain fog. Yes. Mm-hmm. And the night sweats, I would say were my two. Other than that, I didn't have a ton of,
that's good.
Yeah, it is
symptoms.
Because yeah. I remember going to my aunt was with us and we were somewhere at a craft fair or something mm-hmm. and we're walking around. And we're all just, you know, bebopping our way through. And pretty soon I turn around, she's not there. And I'm like, where did she go? Well, she's having such a bad hot flash. She has to sit down and take a minute. And I'm like, oh, my God, is that what's in store for me? Mm-hmm. I'm getting out. what's my exit plan?
How can I escape this?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So it's different for everyone. Mm-hmm. And I want to underscore the point that I don't care what we're talking about in the medical field, whether it's menopause or breast cancer, what you have to be your own advocate. Mm-hmm. You must do your research on your own, make sure that you talk to other people. I just want to encourage that because there's too much misinformation out there. Mm-hmm. Talk to people you mm-hmm. trust and then ask around. Get a referral mm-hmm. from someone who's so using
true.
Someone.
So true.
Right?
Exactly. So true.
Yeah.
Not to sidebar the conversation, but that's exactly what Kevin's situation where
yeah.
we had to press and press and press. And I was challenging mm-hmm. neurologists. And so, you have to advocate.
Yeah.
For yourself, for your spouse, your partners. Whatever.
You do.
And don't you think it's knowing yourself, too? Mm-hmm. I mean, for me, like, I have this, I mean, I think it's beautiful the way this lays out. I have the space and time to pay attention to these things now. Mm-hmm. When you're in the thick of like work and parenting and all of those mm-hmm. things and, you know, home duties, and you literally leave the house at 7 o'clock in the morning, you get home at 7 o'clock at night. I would not have had the capacity mm-hmm. to even think like, how am I feeling right now?
It totally takes mm-hmm. a back burner.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So
you've got other problems.
I've got space and time now. And so mm-hmm. I think that's beautiful that hopefully the quote change is happening when you have a little bit more space and time in your
true.
Life. Stress management. We all have stress. The word stress, I wish we had other words
I
for
know.
That.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I agree.
It's such an overarching, it's like love. How many different kinds of love are there?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So quote stress, I've had to draw boundaries. I've had mm-hmm. to say no to mm-hmm. things and really say, is this the highest and best use of my time right now?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And what am I going to have later on? Like, is this a tit for tat? Like, is this mm-hmm. a worth it? Am mm-hmm. I all in or am I all out? Am mm-hmm. I fence rider on this? Mm-hmm. And I think through the perimenopause and menopause changes, as we age, I think we start going, oh, you know what? I'm okay to say no to those things. Mm-hmm. And no is a complete sentence.
Yes.
We've exactly. all said it. We've gone, no, exactly. I'm sorry. I don't have time. I don't have space for that on my plate right now.
Right. Yeah.
And people totally respect that and go, yes. thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for your honesty.
Absolutely.
I think you mentioning stress. So as I was kind of doing a little bit of studying up on the subject, stress is one thing that they add to the whole list. And I'm going to mention a few things in the list of what you will experience during menopause. So what I would say for myself, or perimenopause, as we age, what I would say for myself is it wasn't one specific thing. Like, I didn't have a hot flash to begin with where I was like, oh, well, it was stress management. Mm-hmm. I was going through a divorce, so I was unable to handle the current load of stress in a way that I felt like I should be able to. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. Some of the other things that are mentioned in this that women may just not think about and may be in it or going through it is urinary incontinence. It causes your muscles to start deteriorating mm-hmm. as you get into this stage of your life. Weight gain. Mm-hmm. So there's kind of a theory of you get a pudge in the middle that's caused by menopause, and my functional medicine doctor said that's real. And she even asked about it. Do you feel like you've got extra weight in your middle? I'm like, yes, and it won't go away. I feel this constant bloat. So she upped one of my medications to make that a little bit better. Sexual function, of course. Mm-hmm. A recommendation was to do your Kegels. So mm-hmm. whenever we had children, Sandy, and mm-hmm. and that's a big, or you're having a female surgery, they point out that that's a good way to strengthen mm-hmm. your female parts and your bottom and, those areas. They say go back to your Kegels. So go back to that, even at this age, to strengthen those things. Sleep apnea. Mm-hmm. Many people suffer from sleep apnea mm-hmm. after the change. I am one of those. I started snoring. And I would wake myself up repeatedly throughout the night, so that's interrupting my sleep. Mm-hmm. Obviously, your hormones are gone, so you're going to feel differently. Gut health, your gut changes, mm-hmm. so changes in your eating habits mm-hmm. and maybe having IBS suddenly or, things like that. Hair loss, start losing hair. Mm-hmm. Acne, adult acne, sex drive again. And I'm going to give a perk to a podcast here real quick since we're on this. But if you women out there, even men, are interested in hearing all the details from an actual professional, I found a really amazing podcast, and it's on the Dr. Gabrielle Lyon Show. It's from January 2nd of this year, and she interviews Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and she is a gynecologist who has done many, many things and owns her own clinic and does this sort of functional medicine now with females. And one of the things that she highlighted in this conversation was that we need to be looking at our bodies as we age as being strong over skinny.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So one of the other side effects is we lose muscle yes. mass mm-hmm. because you don't have hormones in your body keeping those muscular, right? Mm-hmm. And for me, I just kind of thought, oh, I'm just, I'm not as active. I'm not doing the exercises I once did. I'm losing my muscle tone. No, this is a side effect mm-hmm. of it.
Yeah. You start losing your testosterone.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
I think one of the things too, and correct me if I'm wrong, but traditional insurance doesn't cover a functional medicine doctor,
correct.
Right?
Correct.
So I think that's why a lot of women are just stuck with...
Don't have the option.
Go to right. their normal PCP, and they're, yep. They don't feel like they have, and not everybody has the resources to utilize. So I think that's right. another
it's
big...
It's so much more affordable, though. I will say this. My functional medicine, and I'm not... I don't want to promote on here, honestly. There's a lot of good ones in the Springfield area. Mm-hmm. Her out-of-pocket office visit is about the same as the copay that I would pay to see my PCP.
Yeah, so that's good.
If you have coinsurance, if you have an 80-20 on top of that, or you're trying to meet your deductible, whatever your out-of-pocket is,
right.
I'm still money ahead. And I get relief
to see
my functional medicine doctor. Right. It's literally a dinner for two.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's dinner for
two. And it's worth checking into.
Absolutely.
Well, a lot of people feel just, you know, a little bit handicapped or a little
powerless.
Yeah. It's better. It didn't used to always be that way.
You're right.
That's right. It didn't always be that way.
Well, and they don't know. They don't know if they haven't asked or investigated it.
Right.
They may just think that is going to be out of my price range.
Or they think it's like, you know, voodoo or witchcraft or something. You know, there's like a lot of misinformation out there that they're going to just like, you know, rub essential oil on you and say that healed you. And yeah, no, these are still trained nurse practitioners under physician's assistants. Exactly. Under MDs. Mm-hmm. So I just think you have to find who you trust and who works for you. And you may go through one and go, I am not feeling that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to keep looking. I'm going to find the right person for me.
Yeah,
that's okay. And it's not like a drive-through. You're not going in there and going, here's what I want. Yeah. It doesn't work that way.
Right.
Mm-mm. And I think to your point, you're going to go, do I feel better? Yes or no?
Right.
I'm feeling better.
Yeah.
This seems to be
We're going to pick that low-hanging fruit first, you know? And it's once, and a lot of it was, I work with also a dietitian. So once we really started getting my protein intake up and hydrating, and I count macros, that's what works for me to really just look at my protein intake. And I committed to strength training 4 days a week. Mm-hmm. Totally changed my hormones. The more muscle mass you add, the better your hormones are going to be. Right. So I do two upper and two lower every single week. And it works for me, but I have the time and space to do that now.
Right. Yeah.
So if you're out there and you're listening to this and you're like, I am a 35-year-old mom of two.
Right.
I do not have time for that. That's okay. You're going to have time. Mm-hmm. I promise. Mm-hmm. If you draw some boundaries, you're going to have some time.
Yes.
And something is better than nothing. Just like you learned on your other podcast with AYB.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, ladies, any last thoughts on us being women? And we'll move on.
Let's move on.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about friendships now. Let's talk about something that affects all of us at all ages of our lives, right? And every person out there, you show me a person that doesn't have a friend, right? Mm-hmm. So we're all men and women affected by this. And I think, again, the older you get, and it doesn't mean that you have to be in your 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s to be experiencing any of this. I think you just don't know better in your 20s.
Yeah.
And you're still so virgin-esque on life in general that those friendships formed in your 20s are something powerful in itself. But once you get to your 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and up, you're choosing differently. You're choosing for different reasons for the season of life you're in.
Right.
So let's talk about that. What's it like for you at this age, and what have you learned most from the friendships?
You know, Tanya and I know both listened to Mel Robbins' podcast she had on 2 weeks ago. That were the lessons you should know in your 20s. Mm. And it was so good.
Hilarious.
Hands down. It was hilarious. She had some really great points. And we may cover some of those one of these days. But one of her points was about your friendship groups and where, you know, you're in this season of, in your 20s, you've been told what to do all of your life, you know, through high school. And then if you went to college or wherever, you've been told what to do and how to do it and when to do it. And now you've got the sense of freedom. And the people that you knew in high school and college, those people were sort of forced on you, right? I mean, that was who was around you. Your friendship pool was a choice of just those people probably in your grade level or
place
whatever.
A default, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure. And so then you're out in the real world and you may make some work friends, but you're starting to make those choices in who you surround yourself with, and you have the option to make those choices. And we've already talked about boundaries. I think it's really hard for 20 and 30 year olds to figure out. If you figure it out early, good for you, because I certainly did not in my 20s and 30s. I just kind of followed the crowd, and you know, we wanted to go out and have fun and that kind of thing. And you just we've talked about, we probably have people out there, younger listeners, thinking, oh my God, I don't want to get old. Listen to those ladies.
Oh, it's a hoot.
It is. But here's the thing. There are so many benefits because with age comes wisdom.
Absolutely.
And you get to figure out those boundaries and how to make real change in your life because you've selected the people around mm-hmm. you, and it's not just people that have been forced on you. Mm-hmm. So, I think about my friendships now and how much stronger and deeper they are than anything I've ever had before in my female friendships, and the trust level I have with people, and just knowing that. And we kind of talked about, you're going to have your friends that are going to be your drinking buddies, and you're going to have your friends that you go to Sunday school with, or you get, you know, your workout group or whatever. Mm-hmm. There's lots of different, and that's great. If you can surround yourself and make your tribe bigger and better, the more growth you will have, I think, mm-hmm. the more opportunities you will have, just making those connections, which was a big point that Mel Robbins made, is just, if I'd been able to make those, figured out how important those connections were in my 20s, mm-hmm. where would I be today?
Mm-hmm. I think the number one thing I've learned is to stay curious about having lots of different voices and people mm-hmm. around yes. you. You don't have to take on their persona necessarily or mm-hmm. or have everything totally in common with that person. It's okay to have differing opinions. You're going to learn a lot from each other. Mm-hmm. So the life council idea is that, you know, you have about these 10 different people, women or men in mm-hmm. your life mm-hmm. that help you when you need advice or mm-hmm. spiritual direction mm-hmm. or work advice or I don't know, gardening advice, like all right. of these different interests that you have. So you start cultivating, just like a garden, all of these different life council friends. And I just wasn't open to that in my 20s. Yeah. I thought if they didn't align with it, it was very binary. I was yes. very black and yes. white. Yes. There's so much more gray mm-hmm. as I've aged. Yeah. And mm-hmm. I so enjoy having this wonderful tapestry of friends mm-hmm. and all of these different people and levers. And we all elevate each other. I think yes. the other thing I would say, point two, would be I want to be around people who energize and elevate and, yes. and challenge me.
Yes. yes.
I mean, there's times you're going to go sit down with a girlfriend and have coffee and she's going to cry the whole time because she's really going through it. And that's right. normal. Yeah. I don't expect to leave there feeling energized. I'm there for her. I'm filling a gap for her.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But there are going to be times when you continue to see the same person and all they do is just you leave and you're dragged.
Bring you down.
Yes. And yep. you think, you know what? They need a therapist, not me.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's okay. And I am here for you when you get healthy. And I want to hold space for you there.
Yeah.
But continuing to put myself in groups on purpose with people who energize and elevate, those would be my two things.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've all left either coffee or dinner or something and we've said, and when you're saying repeatedly, gosh, they are so negative.
It's yeah.
just, I'm drained, yes. I'm exhausted. Yes. That yes. just like I can't even it's time to kind of step back at least from those. But I think I naturally gravitate to friends that I'm similarly aligned with. That doesn't mean I'm not looking for diverse, but mm-hmm. I think that's just the easier path. Mm-hmm. We are busier, so you have to be a little bit more pick and choose. And mm-hmm. I think we've got professional connections that we look to. I know you and I have called each other and said, hey, I need to pick your brain about something. Mm-hmm. Or, this is going on, and we can just talk real transparent about things. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Got friends that I know if I need anything, I know mm-hmm. that person I could call and they would be there in, 10 hot seconds.
Yeah.
And so mm-hmm. I think definitely you just look for friends that aren't taking more than they're giving and vice versa. Yeah. So.
Agree.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think the older we get, the more valuable those differences in those friendships are, mm-hmm. right? Because mm-hmm. If you're having a day that you have a crisis, you may have a list of friends, but you're not going to call the upper half. Because they're not the one that you want to tell this problem to.
Yeah.
Like when Lakin called me and told me she was pregnant.
This is so beautiful.
And
it really was.
I was distraught. And Callie was one of the first texts. In fact, I think you were the first. Because I didn't know what to do with myself. Mm-hmm. And I certainly didn't know what to do with my thoughts. And I couldn't, she said, oh, honey, call me. And I said, I can't.
She can't talk
I can't
right
even
now.
Talk.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was just. Yeah.
And I'm honored.
Yes.
And the reason that she was able to call me is because I too had received that information from a child.
From a child. Exactly.
About a year earlier. And so I was able to say the things that I felt like I did right and wrong when we were going through it. And I was like, I remember being like, it's okay if you can't talk.
Yeah.
And guess what? You're going to be okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you are. And we are. And it's the best thing that ever happened to you.
Exactly. Yeah.
But and I'm grateful that I could be there.
Probably so comforting to you, just knowing that you were telling that to somebody, even though you weren't having words spoken out loud necessarily, you were... probably there was a lot of comfort in just knowing she knows exactly what I'm going through. Okay, she's hearing me. She can relate to this.
Exactly.
Validation. Everybody's like, I'm so sorry. But until somebody says, I know exactly what you're going through.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You feel like there's a relatable component absolutely. To it.
Yeah. We all want to be seen and heard. I mean, we want the validation to be seen and heard. And so to be able to, I always used to say, I don't want my pain to be in vain. So any hard thing that I've gone through, I don't want to look at that as this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. I want to look at it. Okay, I'm going to grow from this, and then I want to be able to help someone else when they have to go through this.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's the only way you can make sense of it in the moment.
Yeah.
Because if you just laid down in the middle of it, you'd be like, I'm never going to get over this mountain.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm the only person that's ever been through this. No, you're not.
Yeah. Exactly.
No. And even if somebody hasn't been through it, I'll never forget the day that Sandy called me and said she had breast cancer. I can tell you where I was. I was in a mall. I was shopping with my mom and my sister, and I remember that conversation vividly. And I didn't know what to say. I hadn't been through that, but I absolutely was just an ear. I don't think you expected anything else from me. Just you wanted to tell somebody.
I think that's what you do. You just reach out to somebody that you know, like, okay, they're going to listen. Mm-hmm. They're not going to, it's not going to be about them for a minute. It's gonna, they're going to, you know, and just, and you just know, I think there's just strength in knowing that you've got a friend that's ultimately going to be there for you regardless.
Yeah. So. Right.
Yeah. And that's one of your goals with this podcast, I think. I don't want to speak for you, but from listening to your other podcast and your why, just knowing you both, you want to be that listening ear and that place where someone can tune in and go, wow, it's not just me.
Exactly. Yes.
And they can always, you know, reach back out to you guys or DM you guys and go, where did you go for this? Or tell me more about this.
Yeah. Right.
You know, so it's like you're a friendly podcast.
Yeah.
That's what we try to be. That's what we want to be. And that's why we don't want to shy away from conversations about menopause or breast cancer or whatever, you know, whatever it is, we're you know, because we do need to make it okay. We did a podcast not too long ago with about mental health. We had a counselor on, and we're going to do more of that because we've gotten such feedback that that's great. We need to talk about it. We need to have more open conversation about what we're going through because we could all, let's be honest, we could all use a counselor, you know?
Absolutely.
And you made a point, Callie, about sometimes you need more, you need to tell that person they need a counselor versus a friend. Mm-hmm. A friend can only do so much. And sometimes you just need to tell someone, why don't you look for a counselor or why don't you look for someone who's trained to actually help you?
Yeah,
right. I'm always here. I'm a listening ear, but at some point I've reached my capacity in terms of what I can offer you. So,
well, and you're in friend role too.
Yes.
And so it's hard because in friend role, you're supposed to like agree with what I say. Mm-hmm. You
know, yeah, exactly.
Sometimes it may take saying something that's not necessarily what you would expect your friend to say to
right.
you. So I think it puts a friend in really a kind of a hard spot too
to
try to be the one to fill that role.
Yeah.
And even segueing, I mean, I think we're going to eventually talk about parents, but
we're going to move on to parents.
I don't want to always unload on my mother. I'm blessed to still have my mom. Mm-hmm. And I don't want her to feel the weight of that. I'm like, you're way in the afternoon of your life, mom. Like, I don't want to burden you with this. Of course she's always there to listen to me. But there's sometimes I'm like, I really need to work through this. And then I can go to her later and be like, hey, I'm working through this. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting some other opinions or, you know, therapy or whatever. Like, so...
But you don't want them to worry.
I don't want to worry my parents.
It's unnecessary worry for them.
Absolutely. Yes. They just turned 74 yesterday. My dad turned 74 and my mom turned 76 2 weeks ago. And I was they're in such good health, and I don't want any more stress on them or burden on them. Of course, they would not view it that way.
No.
Like, if they listen to us, they're going to be like, we absolutely don't feel that way. It's me.
Yes.
It's me going, let me work through this a little bit and get this a little bit further down the road and then tell you the solutions that I'm thinking.
Right.
These are the roads that I'm thinking, the threads I want to pull.
Well, because you have the tools, right?
I have the capacity.
You have the tools now. Mm-hmm. And thinking of my children, 23 and 25, like, their first thought and first action is to call mom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to call my mom and see what she can do about this.
Yeah.
See what she would do about this and if she can maybe do that for me. or you know, they they don't have the processing ability yet to work through that and to think in those terms that how can I solve this problem?
Yeah.
I'm just going to call my mom.
Yeah.
She's got all the answers.
I think we were all there, right? Oh, absolutely. That's what I mean.
Correct.
I'm like you. I'm not going to burden my mom now because I don't want her to worry about things. But in my 20s, absolutely. In my 20s, it was all about me.
Oh,
and
you're so
egocentric. I don't care if I burden you because.
And we, we talked about that last time a little bit too. Trying that, then that tipping point where you try to like educate your kids a little bit to when they did call you to be self-thinkers and solve on their own, even though we know we're sitting there biting our tongue because we have all the answers and we can tell them real quickly how to fix things. But we're trying to
asking those
let them adult
right them questions adult back. Like I'm so glad when Brett does call and ask me a question, but there's times I need to have a boundary and there's times I give unsolicited advice and I'm like, oop, that's not for me. He did not ask advice. He's sharing and I need to not give advice. And then there's other times that's where I'm I'm just going to hold the mirror up and go, how do you feel about that?
It's so hard.
Dude. How do you want to work on that? How do you see yourself working? What's your preferred future of that? Mm-hmm. So it's just as much work for me to be a better parent in that way instead of going, well, here's how I'd fix that. Because we're not going to fix it the same way because we're not the same person.
Right.
That's right.
And
that's
thank true. Goodness, we that's don't true. Need two of me.
You're right.
It wouldn't be so bad. I would like to. That would be okay.
So segueing into parents. So let's talk about that for a minute and then we will wrap up the podcast. But the three of us, Callie, myself, and Angie, still have our parents. Mm-hmm. Sandy, you can give us a different perspective of that because you have recently, in recent year or two, lost both of your parents.
Right. Just last year. Lost my dad my mother within 6 months. And so definitely hard. My mother-in-law was a year before that. My father-in-law 5 years before that. So lost both the in-laws, my parents, both parents, you know, in 1 year. I think for me, the family, we've always been a really close family. And so we've always just kind of like looked at our parents. We've used the word default here earlier. I think we've always just looked at our parents as they're the ones that keep the family together. They're the ones that organize all the holiday dinners. They're the ones that, you know, call you and fill you in on everything that's happening with, you know, brothers, sister, siblings, aunts, uncles, whatever. And, you know, that all goes away. And, and, you know, my parents were sick for a while. My sister took care of them. But while they lived here, I was trying to help facilitate and take care and offer assistance that I could. And you really start to realize, wow, they did a lot to keep the family unit together, if you will. And so I'm not saying that I'm the self-appointed matriarch of the family now, but I am that person that always is like, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to organize a party. We're going to have this. The family's going to be together. We're going to do this. And it's always that's contradictory, but it's usually, you know, very chaotic when you're trying to pull together an entire family event or something. But
of course.
I think it's really important that somebody step up and somebody has to step up and do it. And so I will say, having taken on Thanksgiving last year, and oh my gosh, me and this turkey, like that was a part-time job. Just like,
you're going to outsource that next year.
That was a big bird and there was a lot of prep and there was a lot of check-in. And I was like, this is a part-time job, just cooking this turkey. But I was like, oh my gosh, like look at everything that our mother and my mother-in-law did. And then I began to get I felt guilty. I was like, I didn't appreciate them enough. Like I didn't tell them enough. Like, gosh, that was a lot that they did. Yeah. But it's rough. It's definitely different. There's times when you said your kids called you because they instinctively wanted to call mom. Mm-hmm. I still find myself going, oh, I need to call my I need to call my mom. And I know everybody said that's lost a parent. But there are definitely still times that I wanted to use her as a sounding board that I don't have now. But, I'm trying to fill that role because I still think it's important. I think a lot of families kind of dilute a whole lot when they lose those parents because they're the people that really kept them apart, or, you know, kept them pulled together.
Yeah. Yeah. If nobody steps up, then that's what's going to happen. And that's unfortunate for the children, the grandchildren that will come not knowing what being around family is like and having to getting to experience those traditions that may be in place. I think it's important, but most of the time I think it is probably self-appointed or, you know, somebody's just got to step up and
somebody's going to take charge.
Like, yeah.
You just have to do it.
So. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of have a little bit of a similar role as you, Sandy, only because my mom is handicapped now, and she can't cook a big meal, and she can't host a big meal unless we're all bringing everything. And so last year, my mom used to host Easter, and her mom, we always had Easter at her house, and Dorothy, and it was perfect. It was, she always made a bunny cake every year.
They got the pattern from each other because Rosalie did the same thing.
Totally did.
Okay, I'll text you a picture of it.
Okay, yeah, and I'll have my mom find it.
Okay,
that's funny.
With the jelly beans.
And the jelly beans. Jelly beans.
Yes. And the coconut.
And the little coconut.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry to interrupt you, but so yes, that's funny.
She always had the bunny cake, and she always had an Easter basket for every child. And, you know, I can remember as a child it being a really big deal to go to Mama's house and enjoy lunch and get to go out in the yard and look for those Easter baskets that they'd hidden in trees or bushes or wherever, and the Easter egg hunt that we would do. And so those memories, my mom recreated those a couple of times when she was in better health. And then after her stroke in 2020, it just fell off. And last year, I kind of started thinking about it early, and I just had this impression upon me that Mama would want me to follow through. And so I text my cousin Dabney and invited my dad and my mom, and it's an opportunity for us cousins to see each other. And now that we have littles, those littles will think that's what we do every Easter, you know? So it is. So
you
you just have this burden almost, but it's a good burden. It's a somebody's got to do it.
I'm always exhausted. I mean, we always host. We have a, you know, we have a space. Our house is big. People come. They have for years. It's okay. Like, we intended it that way. You know, there's a lot of work to, you know, clean your house and get ready and have everybody come. And you're exhausted and you take it all on. And then when everybody leaves, you're just like, that was awesome. That was great. So I love it. And I think there's certain things, that you have to just take on. Making those memories. We talked about that a little bit last time. Some of those things that will become tradition. When you said bunny cake, we all immediately knew.
Absolutely.
It was 1954.
Lit up, and that created.
Love that bunny cake.
Immediately like,
the bunny cake.
And that didn't happen without somebody in our, you know, like grandmother or mother doing that. And so we're now those soon to be grandmothers, mothers, you know, to do those things. And so,
Yeah, that'll fall to me and my family because I'm the oldest, but also I'm the only one that's organized enough to do that. And so, or maybe I'm just bossy. I don't know. But anyway, it'll...
I think that's probably my family's just like, don't mess with her. She's going to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to get the bunny cake, though. I'm going to go home and get the bunny
cake. There you go. I love that idea. I love that. Yeah, we planned... My dad just turned 80, and we planned his birthday celebration dinner. Unfortunately, he fell the day before we were supposed to all go out and celebrate, broke his teeth, and so we couldn't go out and celebrate. But that was it's a big deal to try to get, you know, 14, 15, 20 people together all at the same time. Absolutely. Just busy. Really difficult. We're gonna have to try to do it again. My parents are gonna celebrate their 60th in June. We've got a wedding in the middle of that. So I think I just started doing that a little bit earlier. Like, I took on Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve is mine. I think Justin, I thought, I'm going to prepare myself for what's to come, right? Because eventually this is going to be more of my gig, probably. So I just started. And I love entertainment. I'm just like you. It's a lot of work. You get everything ready, and then you're exhausted, but it's a really good exhausted.
We just take turns. I mean, I think we all, in my family right now, of course, my parents are living in good health. We just kind of take turns. And so at the time of this recording, Easter is 2 weeks away-ish. And we're not even sure if we're going to be in town for Easter. And so my mom, like, sent the group text, and she was like, we're going to do it at my house, and here's who's bringing what, and if you want to get in, get in. So we've done it different ways. I think I hosted, did I host last year, the year before? I can't remember. The only way I can remember is because I went to Northwest Arkansas, and there was a Williams-Sonoma store, and it was in the middle of COVID, and I wanted to buy this Peter Rabbit table runner, and I walked up to buy it, and I didn't look at the price tag, and I normally do. It was ungodly expensive, but I was already committed to Peter Rabbit.
It's going to be yours.
And I thought, regardless. Well, I'm hosting from here on out because we're using Peter Rabbit's table runner.
My golly.
Yeah. So I was like, guess what, everybody? Yeah. You're going to look at Peter Rabbit on my table. So that's our family joke. I was, that's my right. best friend Tara was with me, and I was like, can you believe how expensive this is? So anyway,
that's funny.
Peter Rabbit.
I had to
go out
and buy Easter decor because
your mom had already done it. Okay,
yeah. So I had to go out and buy some because now when Blake comes over, she'll go pick it up and go, Mimi, where you get this? And you know we have to talk about each of the bunnies and why you buy that, Mimi? You know, so
well,
it
get
just
your pocketbook out if you go to Williamson.
I'm not. Like, I went to Home Goods.
Woo! We'd all been, you know, pinned up for COVID. Here I am down there buying this in Bentonville.
Bougie Easter at your
house. Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. The only nice thing I have.
Well, girls, this has been a great catch up. We have solved a lot of problems today.
Yes, we have.
Mm-hmm. And shared all of our expertise at many things. We are not experts. Another disclaimer.
No, we are not.
No. So this is the second episode of the Back Porch Hen signing off. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See you next time.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Simply Authentic podcast. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
Be sure to listen to us on your favorite podcasting app.